This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
In recent years, billions of people suffered through extreme heat. How do they feel about it? Does it affect your outlook on life? The Gallup organization just released their new report, Climate Change and Well-Being Around the World, How High Temperatures Harm Well-Being. Dr. Nicole Wilcoxon led the study. She is research director at Gallup, the world's best-known polling organization. Nicole is also a non-resident fellow at the Brookings Institution. Nicole Wilcoxon, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you so much, Alex.
This new Gallup analysis is the biggest study yet on the personal impacts of climate change. How did your group define well-being?
What we're looking at here is individuals' life evaluations or how they feel about their own personal life. And the well-being via this metric is something that Gallup has been tracking since the beginning of our world poll in 2005. And so we were able to use this data among 1.75 million responses over the time horizon of the study in order to have consistent measures of well-being across that time.
Back in 1972, the King of Bhutan suggested countries should measure gross national happiness rather than gross domestic product. Why did Gallup start tracking well-being?
Well, that's a great question. We think that there are additional elements to the human experience that provide insights about the state of the global population that go beyond economic issues. And so one of the things Gallup has noticed over time via tracking this well-being is that we've seen significant shifts in sentiment among the population based on declines in well-being over time. So for one good example is that during the global financial crisis, obviously we saw economic decline, but we also saw life evaluations falling by 3.7%. And we also see pattern of conflict being emerging. And leading up to that conflict, we can see declines in well-being via our world poll estimates. So we think it's a really important additional metric for policymakers to consider.
Typically, Gallup telephones a wide selection of about 1,000 people, say, in one area to ask set questions. Could you just briefly introduce us to what is the Cantrell scale of well-being?
And so this is a scale that asks subjects to imagine a ladder. With steps from 0 up through 10, and to share what step they would consider themselves on in terms of their own life. And so this is a validated metric that we've used over time and that we find consistent measures resulting from individuals' life evaluations. We find it to be a very valid predictor for happiness and well-being across a number of dimensions.
And I noticed the Gallup Life Evaluation Well-Being Index can be simplified to three states of being, thriving, struggling, and suffering. And I think those say a lot about the modern world. In the global picture, who thinks of themselves as thriving and who's suffering? Is it just based on wealth?
No, there are a number of dimensions that go into understanding whether an individual is thriving, suffering. We see that it's not only about your personal well-being, but also finance, relationships, social relationships, and additional metrics that kind of combine into an index of well-being.
And what about education? Is that a factor in perception of well-being during global warming?
Well, in this particular study, we did actually see a relationship. We saw that people who had lower levels of education were more likely to report, lower levels of life evaluation based on experiencing high temperature days. So that we do see a disparity across populations based on their levels of education in terms of how they experience those high heat days.
And as you point out in the new report, well-being is more than a psychological state for individuals. I mean, governments have to watch out for people's perception of happiness. It can have political ramifications, even changes of power.
Absolutely. And I think another key finding from this research is that we see disparities across distinct countries with large populations in developing worlds. There's in the report itself, we identify 110 countries that seem to be at greatest risk of these rising temperatures and their populations having a greater risk of declining life evaluations. And we see this in particular among some of the most highest populated countries, such as China, Turkey, and Brazil, Mexico, and others that make up a significant proportion of the world population.
So you've got millions of points of data of self-reporting. How did the Gallup team manage to connect those years of polls on well-being to climate change?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Alex. So we were able to utilize the vast amount of data we have from the Gallup World Poll, almost 2 million responses now, and combine that individual level data with objective NASA data over 30 years of high resolution temperature data. And we're able to identify outliers in temperature patterns. And because it's geolocated, we could map it onto the individual and their location and understand how those high temperature days have impacted a person's life evaluation given that experience of a high temperature day in the 30 days prior to the interview. And so by that merging of that data, we're able to map on the relationship between those high temperature days and life evaluation, and of course, controlling for other factors that might affect life evaluation.
A couple of puzzling things come out of this. Why are humans most responsible for changing the atmosphere? That's most of us listening, likely to experience a less decline in well-being than the majority of humans in the less developed world.
Well, I think there's a couple of things here. We see higher risk, higher vulnerability of particular populations. And what we're seeing is that places that are hotter, there is a greater relationship already. But this is, I think, a significant warning to other parts of the world that are also going to potentially experience an acceleration of increasing temperatures in the next decade. So what our study did was we were able to track what happened in the last decade in terms of well-being, identifying areas of risk, but we also are foreshadowing that this is something that's not going away. We are observing that based on trends in the last decade, that in the next decade, there will be increasing declines globally. And what we want to continue to do is track this at the country level in the future so we can determine increasingly where those risks are more exacerbated as time goes on and as temperatures continue to rise.
And another puzzle, even though billions of people in Asia suffer more damage and hardship due to climate change, they are less likely to demand climate action from their governments. Why is that?
Well, this is not probably something that this particular study looked at. However, we do see that because there are these declines, particularly we point out China in the report, that this is a potential a call to action or important data point for leadership in that region to consider this new data and this new study as they look toward policy reform and thinking about ways to temper this issue. We think that this is something that definitely should be considered as policymakers take a look at answers to curb climate change.
Your report takes several case studies, including tropical cyclones Idai and Kenneth in 2019. If your study correlates the well-being survey with NASA temperature data, how could you include these huge storms as well?
Yes, so these were particular case studies that we used in order to identify examples of where this might be taking place on the ground. So because we have this precise data at the local level from our Gallup World Poll, where we conduct face-to-face interviews, we were able to match that data with high temperature at that local level and look at that decline in well-being based on the life evaluation metric.
Well, you have several helpful studies in it, including one on the Mekong Delta drought of 2016 and something on Mexico as well. But let's talk about China. Does the government of China allow Gallup to do public polling?
Yes, we currently conduct survey research in China via our World Poll.
And one presumes the Chinese government uses Gallup polls just as most governments do.
A lot of our work via the World Poll does become public. And so once that is released to the public, we think that any policymakers could use that data accordingly.
And you found there's a geography of well-being or lack of it in China. And it sort of reminded me it's probably the same in the United States. But what was the pattern that you found in China that it's just not equally distributed?
Right. So there's additional regional disparities in China, as one would expect to see regional disparities in, you know, in any country, given economic differences, differences in levels of education and so forth, and more at-risk populations. So we do observe one of the great things about this detailed data about the Gallup World Poll is that we're able to map it to some of those regions and kind of even get a more precise pinpoint of where life evaluation is higher or lower across even within an individual country. And so that we think this is a really important addition that this research adds, is that precision of being able to look at lower geographic levels, even beyond the country level.
So hundreds of millions of people in the developing world are getting new tools. They're getting, for example, they might get electricity or they might get a scooter so they don't have to walk miles to work. Is it possible for people to say things are getting better even as climate deteriorates into a series of disasters?
Well, that's actually a really great question and something we hope to explore in future research, that question of human adaptability. And so while we've demonstrated here that there's a clear relationship between rising temperatures and declines in well-being, as the public becomes more adaptable, the question will be, how much more adaptable is possible? How can we measure that adaptability? And what does that mean for future projections? So in our study, we do find that people will potentially face up to over 3 days of high temperature by 2030. And we project that, you know, global well-being will decline by an estimated 17% by 2030 based on the projections from the last decade. But a question about whether people will be able to adapt to rising temperatures or find remedies to alleviate that is, I think, a big question. But I also think it goes beyond the individual. I think there's also policy implications here that are important for that to actually take place.
Well, maybe you can help us understand how this math works with this idea. In the summer of 2022, the heat in China passed all previous records. And I know that's after your report was written. But according to Chinese media, extreme heat lasted 70 days, more than 2 months. Your Gallup report says, quote, each time a person experiences a high temperature day, their life evaluation drops by an average of 0.56%. Now, is that cumulative? So a person in China with 70 days of high heat might report their feeling of well-being down by over 35%?
This is not necessarily additive, because there are instances where someone's life evaluation might recover. But what our study does is tracks the average over the period based on including that assumption within the analysis. So the potential is there for life evaluation to drop by a significant amount. And as we see a potential global decline in 17%, and that's an average over the whole globe. So you can imagine a case if you've got a heat wave over that amount of time, certainly having that potential impact of a very high declines in life evaluation. And we're thinking, again, I just want to remind everyone that we're thinking about that 10-point scale is how we're measuring it.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Our guest from the Gallup Polling Company is Research Director Nicole Wilcoxon. We're talking about their new report, Climate Change and Well-Being Around the World, How High Temperatures Harm Well-Being. We had a major forest fire near our home a few years ago, and now people are nervous every summer. And then we got the meanest heat dome ever experienced in Canada. When people begin to fear summer, that takes away one of the great pleasures of life and makes working outdoors harder. What I'm asking here is, how long does this decline in well-being go on? Do we know that yet?
I think that's a big question. In our research, we project that it will continue to decline without any remedy to curb climate change, based on our projection that people will face up to 3 times more high temperature days moving into the next decade. Even from 2008 to 2020, people faced went up from about 0.36 days in 2008 up to 1 day in 2020. And we think that it'll rise up to a little over three days by 2030. So given, you know, UN climate projections showing that without any additional action, temperatures will continue to rise at an accelerated rate. Based on the data we've collected and analyzed, we don't see any remedy unless there are changes to that trajectory.
And what does erosion of enjoyment of life mean for the economy and for social life? Does well-being drive participation and striving, or does lack of it lead to fatalism and drug use and economic decline? How does it work out in society?
Well, I think when you look at a global level, there are a lot of implications here. We think that this could potentially foreshadow, you know, increased global crises such as food insecurity, potential conflict, declines in mental health. There are a number of issues that this could potentially result in. And one stark finding that I want to point out from the study is that we do observe that, you know, more vulnerable populations, such as the elderly, are disproportionately impacted. And we know from prior research that there are serious health consequences for the elderly related to heat. So those are just a few examples of some of the implications and consequences that could come out of this study. Of course, we didn't quantify that directly, but, you know, based on research around climate change and the effects of heat, we think that there could be serious implications for what we're seeing in the data.
You mentioned the 2009 financial crisis. How does the decline in well-being due to global warming compared to the erosion of happiness due to that financial crisis when the global economy almost collapsed?
We saw a 3.7% decline as a result of the global financial crisis. Then we saw it tick back up. And we are estimating is over more of a decade time span, so a 6.5% decline over a 10-year time horizon. So, but what the point of that is that these metrics are very stable. So the fact that we see this 6.5% decline over the last decade is a really substantively meaningful finding. It shows that despite the stability of this metric that we've measured at Gallup over time, climate change does seem to have a clear relationship with life evaluation and well-being.
The report, Climate Change and Well-Being Around the World, ends with suggestions for future research. Please tell us about that, Nicole.
Yes, thank you so much, Alex. We think that the, you know, I mentioned earlier the idea of adaptability, and I think that's something that we should continue to consider as we move forward with additional research. We also want to be able to quantify the effect of, at a larger scale, of extreme weather events. So what we're looking at here is rising temperatures, but as we know, we're also facing quite a few extreme weather events, wildfires and such around the world, and we want to try to integrate that in some of our analysis moving forward so we can understand the extent to which those events may have additional impacts, if any, on declining life evaluation.
Should we expect Gallup to follow up with the extreme events from 2022 and following years?
Yes, this is something that we are hoping to add to our research agenda, and I think that as we continue to collect this data through via the World Poll, and as NASA continues to have this objective temperature data and additional data around extreme weather events, it's definitely something that we could pursue on our time horizon.
I see Gallup Press is also bringing out a book, Blind Spot, The Global Rise of Unhappiness and How Leaders Missed It. What is that about?
Well, I think this is a trend about looking at this rise in unhappiness around the world, and that it's not something leadership was really focused on. And we see a really large spike in most recent years where this is something that could have serious implications for mental health and other aspects of well-being. And our CEO, John Clifton, is releasing that book shortly.
But that's not just about climate change. That could include things like the pandemic, the economic situation, and a host of other things.
Exactly. It encompasses factors beyond climate change, economic issues, but also just thinking about unhappiness around the world in general. So it's really quantifying that global level of unhappiness that's increased over time.
Is your report, Climate Change and Well-Being Around the World, available free to our listeners? And if so, how can they find it?
Absolutely. We have the report on the Gallup website, and it's you can download it free of charge. It's open to the public. There's also additional analysis on our Gallup News website, news.gallup.com, where my co-author Benedict Clouet and I do a summary of these analyses.
We've been speaking with Research Director of Gallup, Nicole Wilcoxon. Find links to this report on how high temperatures harm well-being in my show blog at ecoshock.org as well. Nicole, thank you for helping us out on Radio EcoShock.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you for your interest in the research.
I'm Alex Smith reporting.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.